The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 4th chapter. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The season of Lent is a season many Christians regard as particularly precious. It isn't a time of great joy and celebration, a time of festive praise. It is a time during which we join in somewhat somber midweek worship, a time when the readings focus us on the events most central to our redemption, the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many respects, the entire Christian gospel is distilled in the events of the 8 days from Passion Sunday to the Feast of the Resurrection. Because of what happened during that week, we have faith and joy and hope of glory. Although the Sundays in Lent don't focus on the events of Holy Week, that is, on the suffering and death of our Lord Jesus, they are nonetheless overflowing with this same gospel message. Today, in the gospel of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, we see a Savior tempted and tried, but nevertheless victorious. It was the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry. He had just been baptized in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit had come down in the form of a dove and had rested on him, and the Father had spoken the words from heaven we heard echoed last week in Jesus' transfiguration. "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Immediately then, Jesus engaged in his saving work. Filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by that Spirit into his first great battle against Satan. And a full-fledged battle it was. Although only 3 temptations are recorded, Luke says that for a full 40 days, Jesus was tempted by the devil. Many people have speculated concerning the significance of these 3 temptations. Interpreters have often noted that they are the sort of temptations all of us face. Temptations to doubt God's goodness. Temptations to sell out for worldly treasure. Temptations to behave foolishly in the expectation that God won't let anything bad happen to us. Sometimes the conclusion is suggested that this account then should serve as a sort of a lesson to us on how to successfully resist the devil's temptations. Now, it's certainly true that we could use lesson on resisting temptation. Far too often, Satan is successful against us with these same sorts of appeals. And yet, even armed with the Word of God and guided by the example of the Lord, our success in resisting the devil is far from complete. He's a sly and crafty one, expert at catching us at our weakness, practiced and opportunistic. He wants to catch us off guard and unawares. Though at times we will overcome a temptation he brings, as long as we remain in this world, like Eve in the garden, we will also fall for his lies. As we just sang, with might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. Just one slip up, just one sin, earns eternal death and damnation. There's a more hopeful lesson from this text, though, a far more hopeful one. For here we see Jesus tempted just as we are, just as Eve was in the beginning, yet without sin. Recall what Satan said to Eve. He began, "Did God actually say?" The first temptation Luke records has that same element of promoting doubt in God's word. The Father had told Jesus, "You are my beloved Son." The devil says, "If you are the Son of God." At its core, the devil's suggestion was an invitation for Jesus to doubt his Father's loving care. Satan was suggesting that Jesus couldn't depend on his Father, but needed to act to take care of himself. If God really loves you, if you're really his Son, you shouldn't have to wait for him. Jesus, however, isn't shaken. His hunger and thirst for righteousness are greater than that rumbling in his stomach. He repels Satan's first attack. And so Satan tries another familiar tactic. Just as he had promised Eve, "Eat of this fruit and you will be like God." So now the devil promises Jesus godlikeness, authority over all the kingdoms of the world. "If you will worship me, they will all be yours." Would you like power? Do you want the authority and splendor of kingdoms? Do as I say, and they can all be yours. But again, Jesus is not moved. He will not turn away from God, not for all the riches in the world. He does not bow down to the devil, but tells him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." But the devil is nothing if not persistent. And so he moves on to one more temptation. "If you are the Son of God," he says, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." There are echoes here of Satan's words to Eve, "You will not surely die." And indeed, all three of the temptations come together here. "You are God's Son, aren't you? Think of the success when everything sees what's happened. What are you waiting for, Jesus? Don't you trust God?" But even the devil's big guns don't faze the Savior. Jesus answers, it is said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Adam and Eve faced these temptations and fell. Not only have all their descendants inherited their sin, but you and I too have fallen when tempted by Satan. When Jesus faced these same temptations, though, he won the battle. The seed of the woman was beginning to crush the serpent's head. The devil was beaten, was forced to sound retreat, to leave the battlefield. To be sure, he would be back. He would attack again when he had the opportunity. But the outcome of those battles would always be the same as of this one. Already on this first Sunday in Lent, the Easter message is clear. The victory belongs to Christ. And yet that's only part of the good news. As good as it is to see Christ defeat our enemy, it's even better to know that he defeated the devil for you. And that's really the good news of our text. It's true, as I said, that with might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But it's also true, as Luther continued, but for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. Our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Thus already at the beginning of our Lenten journey, we see its outcome. Jesus is victorious. He is victorious for you. Victorious in resisting the temptations of the devil for you. Victorious in living a perfect life for you. Victorious in enduring sin's punishment for you. Victorious in winning salvation for you. So although you have failed to resist temptation perfectly, although you have failed to love God always with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, nevertheless you are not doomed to the eternal punishment you've earned. You aren't doomed because Jesus resisted temptation for you, was obedient for you. Luther explained it well. Jesus satisfied the law. He fulfilled the law perfectly, for he loved God with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength and with all his mind, and he loved his neighbor as himself. Therefore, when the law comes and accuses you of not having kept it, bid it go to Christ. Say, there is the man who has kept it. To him I cling. He fulfilled it for me and gave his fulfillment to me. Thus the law is silenced. St. Paul puts it this way. For as by the one man's disobedience, that is, by Adam's disobedience, for as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, by Jesus' obedience, the many will be made righteous. You have failed, but Jesus was obedient, and through faith in him, his obedience has become yours. So sing today with joy. For us baptized, for us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. For us temptation sharp he knew. For us the tempter overthrew. It's true, gloriously true. He did it all for you. And now in Christ, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. Thank God. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.